Anfield. We spoke before about the power of Anfield coming together as one. The players and the fans turned up. They sung their hearts out. You'll Never Walk Alone was emotional at the start. And Liverpool have taken Galatasaray apart tonight, going through to the quarters to meet PSG. 4-1 on aggregate. Some brilliant goals. It could have been 7 tonight. It really could. Liverpool were brilliant. Salah and Ekitike, give Arna credit, he changed the formation. He played Salah and Ekitike together as forwards, and the pair of them absolutely terrorised the Galatasaray backline. First goal, brilliantly worked corner routine. McAllister delivered, Szoboszlai, wonderful finish, bottom corner. Salah has a penalty saved in first half stoppage time, but then Salah grabs an assist, brilliant ball to Ekitike for two. Then Gravenberch drives in for Liverpool. Mo Salah with a magnificent goal. First African to score 50 in the Champions League. What a goal. What a night at Anfield. Liverpool 4, Galatasaray 0. 4-1 on aggregate.
Steve Hunter, delighted that Liverpool have booked their place in the Champions League quarter-finals with an emphatic 4-0 win over Galatasaray at Anfield, which made it 4-1 on aggregate. I'm Harriet Pryor and you're listening to The Reaction. Coming up on this episode, we'll hear from Arne Slot as well as Milos Kerkez, but let's begin with some analysis from former Reds Jason McAteer and Jay Spearing, who joined me after the full-time whistle at Anfield. Wanted something special tonight. Did we get exactly that, Jason?
Was it ever in doubt?
Well,
I told you.
We can say that with hindsight, can't we?
I know. When it goes to plan, it always puts a smile on your face, and we built it up. And to be fair, I mean, I'm not saying we're experts, but it did play out like we did say. The crowd played their part. It was a real energetic first 15 minutes, albeit, like we said, Galatasaray were going to come and spoil it, and Jay made a really good point, you know, about the referee, about the officials. If they get wrapped up in it, you know, it can play into Galatasaray's hands. They did roll around, they did a little bit of play acting, and you know, the referee stood strong on a couple of occasions, and Liverpool started to get into their rhythm, and then they get the goal, and it's, you know, everything kind of settles down, and then unfortunately we missed the penalty, and it's like, oh, you know, that's not in the script. And then obviously the second half was just a really, really good performance. And, you know, I said to Jay after 2 or 3-0, it become like a training ground game for Liverpool. You know, the little one touch, two touch, they played with freedom. It was an all round really, really good display, and the fans played their part, but the players were exceptional tonight.
Did everyone do exactly their job? The fans in that stadium, every single player on the pitch, the manager with his decisions as well. Was it the perfect performance pretty much for everyone, Jay?
Yeah, for me, I think, you know, let's touch about the fans. I think the fans are outstanding from the get-go. I said that, you know, you'll never walk alone will be the moment where you start to feel that the fans are in it. That, for me, was special, gave me shivers again. And from that on, from 90 minutes all the way through, as soon as Liverpool were on the attack, they sung their hearts out and they drove the players forward to succeed. And, you know, going to the players, you know, I couldn't name one that didn't turn up or didn't do his job, didn't do his work rate. The tempo that the game was played, that was unbelievable. And, you know, the athleticism and the fitness of them, it was incredible to come and play that type of game after playing Spurs on the weekend. And then the manager, I think we have to give the manager huge credit. The formation and the way that he played, I just don't think Galatasaray could live with it. I don't think he understood it. I didn't think he could, like, the rotation between the midfield and Liverpool just caused them problem after problem. The athleticism of, you know, Kerkez down the left-hand side, Frimpong down the right, Mo being closer to Hugo. Yeah, everything was just a top, top night for me.
Jason, you said it was never in doubt, and there obviously were nerves heading into that one, but how quickly into that game did Liverpool help to settle them with their early performance?
Yeah, it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek. There were nerves before the game. But I mentioned it in the build-up, didn't I? Sometimes fixtures come along at the right time. And, you know, we were 1-0 down, of course, we were. And, you know, the game started. But it was a good game to be in. It was under the lights. It was a European game. Like Jay said, the fans are always going to turn up and play their part. It was just down to the players. And, you know, for the manager, had it been a Burnley or a Leeds or a Wolves, you know, his motivation tactics might have come into play, but I don't think he really would have had to say much tonight. I think, you know, the fixture in itself was the motivation.
Turn up on these special nights beforehand.
They do. You know, there's something special about the atmosphere. Listen, as players, when you go on the pitch, you can feel it. You can feel the atmosphere come onto the pitch, the energy come onto the pitch, and you feed off it. It gives you a little bit more boost. It gives you a little bit more adrenaline. You know, you can feel like you can run a lot more. You feel like you're on your toes. You're alive to it. It's just something that's in the air. And you know, but you've still got to perform. Listen, from a professional point of view, there's things to work on. You know, the first 20 minutes, they were sloppy at times. They were breaking and, you know, maybe wrong decision making. But in the main, we spoke about what the first 20 minutes needed. It had the energy. It had the fundamentals of, you know, the tackles were there. You know, the energy was there. The decision making was quite a little bit off at times, but the intent was there. And you just felt like Liverpool were knocking on the door, and there was going to be a moment that come where it just all clicked, and it did, and they got the goal, and I think that really settled them down.
Is it that energy, Jay, that sometimes we've been missing this season that you saw out there tonight?
I think, so I'm going to say that I felt the injuries and putting Dom at right back and losing his intensity to press forward is a huge factor. You know, I know he's an unbelievable player. He's versatile. He can play in numerous decisions. But for me, just personally for me, I think the best that we get out of Dom is when he's playing as a high eight in midfield. The legs that he has, the fitness, the intensity that he brings to the team, everyone seems to follow. To me, he seems a bit of a set presser. You know, when a pass is made, he's the one that chases and puts the pressure. He brought the crowd up. He got the crowd involved in the game. But I also think that a huge part of it was Kanate's moments with Osimhen. You know, he left one on him a little bit, and I hope Osimhen's okay and he's all right. But I thought that was a huge moment, because in Galatasaray, losing one of their most influential players, I thought that rocked them. And I don't think they liked it. And, you know, they were trying to play the game of slowing the game down and all that. But for me, Ibu really said, come on, this is going to be a battle between me and you. And he won it. And that put Galatasaray on the back foot.
Yeah, battles all over the pitch. We go through some of the key moments. There are plenty of them. Jay, I'm going to come back to you for the first goal. Really well-worked corner routine. Szoboszlai with the finish. McAllister on that corner. Something you've seen at the training ground, maybe?
Without going into too much detail, yeah, it was kind of one that they did work on. And it was executed to perfection. I felt that the ball that was wrapped in was, you know, going to Dom's unfavourite foot. But I said to you, didn't I, the control of the finish is exceptional. It's an incredible one. It was worked to an absolute T. Fantastic ball in. All the blockers got their jobs done. Everyone played their part for Dom to be able to finish it. But on his left foot, on a bouncing ball as well, to control it into the far corner, I thought it was an unbelievable finish.
It was a massive moment in the game for me, because I mentioned there before Jay's answer, the first 20 minutes, you know, when a game starts like that and there's loads of energy, you kind of feel like, right, we're knocking on the door. Is this the opportunity that comes? Because you're always looking for the goal to settle everything down. We're still 1-0 down at 0-0, don't forget, and you're just waiting for it to happen. You know, we created opportunities, and it got to the point where I was thinking, ooh, is it going to come? Before the first goal. Is this first goal going to come? You know, we've been a little bit sloppy. There's lots of energy. We're knocking on the door, but is it going to be one of them nights? And the longer the game goes on at 0-0, they become more comfortable, you know, from a defensive point of view. They keep the shape, they dig in, you know, there's something to hang on to, the 1-0 lead. And the longer it goes on, the more they will hold on to that. And I just thought that was a massive moment. And it comes from a set play, which, you know, we've been critical of this season, of Liverpool's for and against set plays. So well done to Liverpool, you know, to score from a set play. But it was a really good, big point of the game. It was a really good, well-worked corner.
Particularly because before that, Galatasaray were very much employing some of the dark arts, weren't they?
The
taking the sting out of the game at every opportunity.
Yeah, and there was a couple of moments the ref could have blew, and, you know, again, I refer back to Jay's really good point. It would have been easier for him to blow, but he's, you know, I think after the first couple of rolling rounds, I think the referee was thinking, you know, maybe I need to just look at a few of the challenges and maybe let a few go. And that's what he did, and it managed to get Liverpool into a bit of a rhythm.
Jay, in that first half, could have gone in probably a couple more ahead. So many good chances, just missing that clinical edge a little bit in that first half.
Yeah, you could probably relate it to Galatasaray away. You know, the moments that we had, you know, the clinicalness of the team, something that was, you know, has been questioned by many people on, you know, scoring more goals and, you know, giving us and like seeing teams off. I felt that we should have gone in more than one, you know, with the opportunities that we had. It was just one of them ones where the keeper, you know, he turned up, he had a decent game, but again, Liverpool should have been out of sight. And then it took, you know, a huge moment that we felt, you know, Dom again being a huge part of it, winning the penalty. And, you know, Mo will look back at him, sure he will, and he'll be disappointed that he never scored it. But the player that he is, you know, you don't shake him off for too long. He's there again. He's always there, wanting to go and score more. And yeah, he played a huge part in the rest of the game.
Did you think that penalty miss could have been a turning point for the worse, or were you confident that the second half we'd pick up the pace?
For him personally or the team?
Well, both.
Yeah, it can knock you. It can knock you. Again, it was an important part of the game. The timing of it would have, you know, a nice would have sent us in leading, and that's always nice to go into. The team talk changes then. And then you miss, and obviously, like, you know, you can hear the crowd's frustration and it can set you back. But listen, I felt he changed his mind. I just felt it on the run-up. He didn't strike it too well. I think, I don't know whether he was a bit of uncertainty in his mind, and he the keeper saves it. But he's the kind of character where he doesn't let things set him back. And like Jay said, you know, listen, he come out with a point to prove second half. He wasn't going to let it affect him mentally. And, you know, we played his part second half, Mo Salah.
Well, yeah, and on 51 minutes, he does get the assist for Ekitike's goal. Jay, talk us through that one.
Do you know what? I think you have to touch on the fact, you know, that the crowd were a bit flat when after he missed the penalty. Mm. And that had knocked the players, but it seemed to revitalise them. And then I felt that Liverpool started the second half just as they started the first half. You know, got Galatasaray on the back foot. They made a couple of changes that Liverpool might have took time to adjust to, but it didn't seem to knock our stride whatsoever. I think it was Vert that slid Mo Salah in, and this time, you know, he's lifted his head up, and on his weaker foot, he's played an absolute inch-perfect ball across goal, and, you know, Hugo's running into it, and he's probably celebrating before he's hit it, because he knows how easy it is for a player like him. And I said to Macron on the side, I said, what a signing he's been, Hugo. You know, he's been an instrumental of what Liverpool have been this year. He's been a huge, you know, with Alex picking up the injury that he has, he's been a huge part, and he's been a vital part, and a fantastic signing.
And he has to be in the right place at the right time, because before the match, Jason, we were talking about how his form in the last few games hasn't been quite there in front of goal, but couldn't see that with that finish.
Yeah, again, you talk about the mentality of players. Listen, he's a lot younger than Mo Salah, and you know, you could argue, you know, going on an 8-game, I think it's 1 in 8 games, isn't it? You could argue his confidence would be knocked, but he sort of never gives up. He never gives the impression or stops running that he's not involved in the game and he doesn't want to affect it. And I thought he drifted left a couple of times in the first half, where maybe I'd like to have seen him in the box in a more dangerous area. But sometimes that's just natural. I mean, he does it for France sometimes, doesn't he? He plays out on that left, and, you know, he drifts a little bit left and gets caught out of position. But, you know, second half again, you know, he showed his quality, and Jay's right, you know, Salah, you know, he could have taken the shot on, he could have, you know, taking it on himself, but unselfishly he just squares it to Ekitike, and it was a goal that he needed, but also for us as well. It was it changed the whole complexion of the game in the second half, and that's when I felt it changed into a bit of a training ground exercise for Liverpool.
I think that again, the credit to the manager to have them both so close to goal, you know, because if it had started Mo Salah outside on the right, I don't think that ball in between the fullback and the centre-back happens. Yeah. For him to then be able to square it across to Hugo. So having them play closer together, it's obviously something that they've worked on. You've seen a partnership build, and I think that creates that second goal.
It's funny because you talk about it being a tap-in and stuff. Listen, it's not the most glamorous finish in the world, but I remember sitting with Robbie Fowler once, and he got asked, what's your favourite goal like in your whole career? And I mean, listen, he's scored a few in his career. And he waxes lyrical about the tap-ins, because he feels, if it's a tap-in, I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
It's where I'm supposed to be. You've got to be in the right place. And he got more joy out of scoring a tap-in than maybe an overhead kick he scored, or, you know, a volley, a flick, whatever. You know, he scored all kinds of goals. But for Ekitike tonight, that's where,
that's,
you know,
some...
Yeah, and you need to be there. And listen, that confidence can stop you getting into them areas. But he keeps knocking on the ball. He's a grafter. He's a grafter. I really like it. And he gets his reward tonight.
You said that was the moment where everything started to click. And then just a couple of minutes later, Gravenberch gets his goal. Talk us through that one.
Yeah, bounces back out to him, doesn't it? I thought he missed it first. And then everyone got, I thought he put it wide.
He didn't look from my angle. Like,
yeah,
it was a little bit.
And then it goes in. And listen, it was a bit like, I felt their body language had gone, and we'd spoke at length, hadn't we, how away from home they've been poor this season, especially in this competition, and the amount of goals that they concede away from home as well. And it just looked like for them it was, oh, it's another one of them nights. But that's down to Liverpool and their persistence. And I agree with you. I don't think there was a standout player tonight. I just thought they all done their jobs at a high level. And, you know, that's a really good thing, because it just shows everybody that when they're on it, Liverpool, they can beat anybody. And I know we're talking about maybe Galatasaray and that, but, you know, that could have been against anyone tonight. And if they'd have put that performance in against anyone, they would have won Liverpool. That's as simple as that. You know, when they play at a high level, you know, they'll get rewarded for it. And they've set the bar now. You know, that was a very, very good performance. But Gravenberch, again, another good performance, gets his goal.
We're not done yet. There's still more goals to get through.
I know, I'm trying to remember them in the head. I'm like, what was that one like?
I know, I'm throwing to you to give you a bit of a memory test. You were doing well pre-match with your memory, go all your stats.
Own goal next. Was it?
The disallowed one.
Disallowed.
Frimpong.
Oh, Frimpong.
Frimpong. And it's sad when it's a Frimpong goal is disallowed, isn't it, Joe? Because that man loves a goal and absolutely loves a celebration in front of the cop. You can see how much it means.
Remember the first goal he scored in that celebration? Yeah. The next day I was buying my kids' kits.
And he got Frimpong on the back.
Yeah, he got Frimpong on the back because of the celebration.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame that one was disallowed,
Jay. It is, and that's the qualities that Frimpong has, and that's what he offers you going forward. You know, we all know, well, we've seen that he, you know, his one-on-one duels defensively, he's outstanding. He's quick enough to battle and fight with people and make sure that he's not beaten in 1v1. But his attacking, you know, he's been questioned probably on his crossing, on you know, on his final delivery to find that them people. But he puts it into an area where a defender's worst nightmare. He's facing his own goal. He tries to slash on it. It comes off his shin and goes in. And, you know, sadly for him, as it goes in, he celebrates the cop and gives it large. And then he has to walk back to the halfway line, knowing that then it's been given offside. So a disappointment for him. But good to see him in the areas, because you want to see him in them areas more often.
And what came next?
The own goal.
It was all offside.
What was the next one?
Mo Salah Superstrike.
I'm getting old, Jay. I'm getting old.
We speak about the penalty miss in that first half, and could potentially have held him back, made him doubt himself a bit. I mean, Mo Salah never really doubts himself, but then to come up with a finish like that, redemption for you?
Yeah. Listen, he had a very good... Do you know what? He was quite quiet in the first 20 minutes, Mo Salah. I don't know whether it was because he was coming inside and it was a little bit congested and, you know, they weren't really playing. It was kind of like, I mean, I was talking to Jay about it and we won't go into too much detail, but it kind of, the tactics were working, but it just meant Mo Salah being inside a little bit. And I think that's why we probably didn't see him on the ball as much. But second half, there just seemed to be, I think because of them as well, and they'd resign the fact they were beaten, there seemed to be more space. And when it's... They say it's great when you're out there. I swear, it's the best time to be a footballer, a 3-0 up with 20 minutes to go. It's the best 20 minutes of your life, because it's like everything's relaxed. You feel like you can just play. There's loads of space. There's loads of time. And you can do things. You can try things. And it was always going to be a moment where Mo Salah was in front of goal or doing something spectacular. It was just set up for him, especially after the penalty miss. Anyway, we get the classic Mo Salah cut inside and whip into the top corner, and it was just what he needed. But it was a lovely strike. Listen, you've still got to put it in the back of the net. You've got to put it in the top drawer.
Knowing him as well, if he looks back at his game, he'll probably look and think, I should have had a hat-trick. Because I think in the first half, sorry, you should have had a four, because in the first half he went through on goal and he tried to lob the keeper. Yeah. Keeper made a good save, so he probably should have had four. Mm. So knowing him, he's probably walking away a little bit disappointed.
Well, he was when he hit the woodwork, head in hand.
Yeah, do you understand me? So the standards
he sets.
Yeah, exactly. The standards that he sets himself, he's probably thinking, I should be walking off with a match ball minimum. And then obviously, like, we hope that, you know, he's ended up going half, and we hope he hasn't done anything serious, because that'll be a huge blow for Liverpool and for him. But yeah, he probably walks off thinking, wow, I should have the match ball sat in my locker right now, going home in the car.
You very rarely see him walk down the tunnel with an injury, do you? But it was his 50th Champions League goal. He's the first African player to ever reach that milestone, Jay. And that's something, you know, knowing Mo Salah, he'll be very proud of, won't he?
It's no surprise, because I think since the day that he walked into this football club, he's done nothing but set standards, complete expectations. He's been questioned, he's been judged, and every single time each year it just seems to be record after record after record, and he just keeps ticking them off one after the other. He's been an unbelievable player for this football club. He'll go down in history at this football club, and he's an exceptional pro, and he leads by example on and off the pitch, you know, on a day-to-day basis. He's created a culture of, like, the boys, you know, making sure the young lads, the players that have played 500 league games, you know, the new lads that are coming in all different language, you know, from all different parts of the world, he creates them and he makes sure that they're all in the gym together. And he's real fundamental of what Liverpool have been and how the success has been over the last 8 to 9 years that he's been here. So yeah, he's an unbelievable pro and an unbelievable player.
I think I totally agree. I think first and foremost he is a team player. I think within, because we don't see a lot of him because he's not very expressionate, is he, to the, you know, he doesn't do a lot of interviews. We don't get to see a lot of him off the pitch. But within the camp, I think he's got a huge influence. I think he's a big leader. But I do think his incentives, although he's a very much a team player first, I think his incentive comes by ticking boxes such as that. You know, that will drive him. You know, the numbers that he's posted in seasons gone by are absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, I think it'll be hurting him that them numbers are down. But there's still records to be broken and he'll want them. And, you know, another one's ticked tonight by being the first African, so congratulations, Mo.
Yeah, and you can see how much it meant as well with the cop celebration at the end, tapping his badge. The fans always love to see that. And then final action of the game, McAllister, his goal was disallowed. Was that one fair? Jay shaking his head.
No. I honestly don't know what the referee's seen.
For a foul on the keeper?
Nah, it's never. He's gone off for a header. If anything, as Virgil's about to header it, he's hit it onto Virgil's head. It fell for McAllister. It's a goal all day long. I actually asked Macca and said, will VAR step in and say that he's made a mistake? But I don't obviously think the rule clearly isn't there for them to step in and say, listen, you've got that one wrong. That would be showing up the referee. But I will allow him that on the 89th minute he's made his first mistake, because I do agree with Macca's comments before that I felt he ran the game incredibly well. He could have been drawn into all the games that Galatasaray were trying to play, but I felt he had a fantastic game. Yeah. So I'll let him off with one.
Yeah, we are critical of officials, but tonight he was exceptional.
Yeah, he was very good.
Thankfully, it didn't make a difference in the end. Let's go through some of the stats from the game then. I mean, 62% possession for Liverpool, but what's really striking is the shots. You can see here 32 shots for Liverpool to Galatasaray's 4 and 16 shots on target, 5.02 XG. Jason, it could have been more. It could have been 16-0 at the end of it.
Yeah. Listen, the manager's, you know, he's coming for some criticism for some of the performances. But tonight was a performance that got the crowd off their bums, you know what I mean? They stood up tonight, they've seen some really good play, lots of goals, lots of exciting football, you know, that's what they want to come and see, that's what we've been used to. And, you know, he's a completely different character to Jurgen Klopp. He has completely different ideas to Jurgen Klopp. He's more controlled, he's more pragmatic. Jurgen Klopp is so unique in the way he manages. You know, everyone goes on about, you know, we need another year, or you need this, we need that. Jurgen Klopp was that unique. There's no one like Jurgen Klopp. But they're going about Guardiola. There's disciples of Guardiola. You know, there's managers who have come through the same system, and we talk about them. You've got Maresca, you've got Arteta, you've got Iriola. You know, no one ever says, oh, we've got so-and-so, he's like Jurgen Klopp, so-and-so is like it. They're just not out there. Jurgen's a completely different character. This manager is unique in his own methods and the way he does things, but he is more pragmatic and he is more controlled. That's not to say that won't bring us success. Tonight, you know, he's kind of pushed the boat out a little bit more. He's been expansive, maybe because he's had to, because we're 1-0 down. But tonight serves a lesson of, you know, what we can have, you know, and how Liverpool can play. And I think he'll take heart from that. And sometimes you've got to let the reins off sometimes, haven't you? You've got to let players, you know, just go sometimes instead of being controlled. And I think he'll look at that and think, do you know, I quite enjoyed that. Fair play to him tonight, because he could have been controlled. He could have been a bit more pragmatic. He could have held them back a little bit, but he didn't. And fair play to him. It was a big call tonight to play the way he did. He got a response off everything. And I'm made up for him more than anything, the manager. Really made up for him. There's been a lot of noise around this football club the last couple of weeks. Yeah, results haven't gone well, but he deserves a pat on the back tonight. He really, really does. Fair play to him.
And are we managing his first Champions League quarter-final as well? So big moment for him personally. Yeah. Let's go through some of the average positions then, because you spoke there about how Liverpool really played with attacking intent. And if you have a look here, Jay, you can see two wing-backs playing particularly high. Vert's playing tight to Ekitike. It almost looks like Hugo and Mo playing as a front two at times. What did you make of the setup and particularly how high those full-backs were playing?
Loved it. Probably the best way to describe it. I felt that Liverpool was so expansive, and like I said before, I felt that the manager deserved a lot of praise on the way that he set up. I think you can see there the flexibility of that midfield four. I think in moments, you know, having three tens in overloading their midfield and they pressing a 4-4-2, overloading that middle with the, with Ryan McAllister, Vert, Dom just inside, they just couldn't live with it. And I felt that throughout the game, they just didn't know what to do. The security triangle of Virgil, Ebu and Ryan even just in front, having that security was always there. And when you've got people like Kerkez, the pace that he has, the pace that Frimpong has, you know, the whiff that they give you, like looking, like you say, like wing backs, is incredible. But again, look where Mo is. That's where we want Mo. You know, and I know Mo. I know Mo over the years has been exceptional for Liverpool Football Club out wide. But him and Hugo, you want him as close to the goal as possible because that's where he's most dangerous. And you know, I felt the manager's tactical awareness to go into that shape today and get them players in their areas that they were was outstanding.
Jason, you mentioned their Verts. You didn't think he'd be playing too far out to the left. Did you like how he was tucking inside and impacting the game?
You know, he's not going to affect it out wide. You know, he's not that type of player. He's not going to go down the outside and put loads of crosses in. He wants to be in the middle, you know, affecting it, playing off Ekotike, linking up with his, with McAllister or Gravenberch or Szoboszlai. You know, that's where he wants to be. That's where he's dangerous. He pulls the strings. He makes things happen. He executes really, really well. You know, he was never going to be out wide, and I don't think that was the intention, you know, to come inside, get Kerkez down the outside, Frimpong, who was on so many times high. You know, it's a dangerous game to play, but sometimes you've got to play it. But they've set themselves a standard tonight. You know, the managers looked at that and thought, yeah, that's the way I want to go. And you know what? You've executed it perfectly. And if you do that more often than not, Liverpool will win games. Listen, you have to be adaptable in the Premier League, in European football. You know, you come up against so many tactics, so many different ideas. Managers have changed this season. There's lots more long balls. Set pieces have become more prominent. You know, you've got to adapt all the time. And this manager will, you know, he's tinkering. He's tinkering at the minute. He's still finding his feet, you know, with ways to go. Sometimes it's going to be pragmatic and controlled. Sometimes there's a time and a place to play like that. And I think he will look at that tonight and think, yeah, I can go like that more often than not.
Well, shall we hear how he looked at it? Because he's been speaking to Pete McDowell.
Well, boss, congratulations. What a night that was at Anfield.
Yeah. Everything, I think, I was hoping for, the players were hoping for, and the fans were hoping for. Players were at their best, and the fans were at their best as well. I asked them to be loud if they wanted to try to kill the momentum, to kill the energy in the stadium, and I got what I was hoping for, because every time they were trying to get the tempo out of the game, our fans stood up and made even more noise. And our players played close to a perfect game.
What did you ask of them tonight? Because the way you started in Istanbul had the intent, but maybe not that breakthrough. But tonight you gave them no license at all, Galatasaray, to almost get out of their own half.
No, but that was the same in the first 10 minutes in Istanbul. And scoring goals is so vital in football, is so vital for the momentum of a game. And in Istanbul, we conceded in the first chance they had. And today, we scored the first goal and we had so many opportunities. So that is probably the only reason why it wasn't perfect. Because, again, we were able, and you can hardly believe that, to underperform in terms of XG. So we had so many more chances than the goals we scored. But if you score four, then... And you should be happy, especially after a performance like this.
So much energy from you on the touchline, from the players trying to get the atmosphere charged up as well. You could see how much it meant to them to get back to themselves tonight.
Yeah, but that's also because this season at Anfield, so many times teams have tried to break our rhythm by taking 1 minute or 2 minutes for a throw-in, being on the floor, trying to get the momentum, to shift the momentum or to kill the momentum. And I've tried in the first 7 or 8 months to talk to the fourth official and try to say to him, you have to act. But in 8 months' time, I've never seen it happening in the Premier League. I've never seen it happening in the Champions League. So I felt I have to address this before the game to get the help of the fans. And I have to try to address it during the game to make it so obvious and clear to anyone is that this is not what we can accept, because I cannot create a tactic against that. I can only try to let it be seen, and I'm hoping that Premier League officials are going to act against this if this is happening here at Anfield. during Premier League games as well.
Last eight, which is some achievement, isn't it? PSG will be some contest as well. It's one that seemingly the players, you will be already looking forward to another fantastic occasion here in the second leg.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also happy that it's my first quarterfinal in the Champions League. So for this club, of course, it's not so special because only 5 years ago we already played it. So Virgil played. It's going to be his fifth. So for this club, of course, not so special. But I'm happy that we're going to play it. But this is also not where we are aiming for as Liverpool to reach the quarterfinal of the Champions League. We want more. We showed tonight that we can be a very good team, a very difficult team to play against. But we also know from experience and from yesterday evening that we're going to face a very good team as well.
Good to hear from a very relaxed Arne Slot there. One thing we haven't touched on, Jamie, is the fact that Liverpool kept a clean sheet tonight. So many goals at the other end, we didn't have a chance to mention that. How pleased will he be with that?
Yeah, I think he'll be pleased with it. I think as a collection of a team will be as well. I think the fundamental of what we did last season was clean sheets. I think if you look over the stats that we had last year leading to the Premier League success was, you know, we were built it down on foundations of clean sheets, and then we were always able to go and score goals and win games of football. I think, you know, the standards again that our players look after themselves, Ali, Virgil, Ibu, you know, Joe Gomez at the back of Robertson, the full back line, you know, we can name a lot of them. They'll be more disappointed they haven't kept more clean sheets. So, you know, the fundamental of that, we've got plenty of players that can go forward and score goals all day long. So it's a huge positive leading into the succession of the next games coming up.
Jason, he looked super relaxed, super calm. I know he always does, but a momentous night for him. Someone, as you mentioned, who's got a little bit of pressure at the moment, but couldn't see it from that interview, and also all night on the touchline, really.
He speaks well. It's been tough for him, you know, the last few weeks, and he's had to bat a lot of questions off about himself, about the team, about the performances tonight that have gone by. But tonight it was... You know, it was a nice one for him. Good performance, like I said. You know, they didn't just go and win four. It was a really solid performance. And I'm sure he's gone into the dressing room and he's reminded the lads of how good they are and what they can do. You know, sometimes the performance speaks for itself and you don't have to say too much. You know, they've raised the bar tonight and that's where it needs to stay. You know, we've got a lot of work to do before now and the end of the season. This isn't, you know, moving the right direction. It's settled the noise. But again, for the fans as well, you know, had it been a dour night and had it not gone for us, you know, it would have been a different conversation and it would have been another pick-me-up. Mm-hmm. But tonight, it's something you can really, really build on because the performance was that good.
The fans absolutely loved it in there.
It's what they needed. Mm. Yeah, it's what they needed. And I'm so happy for that. Like I said, you know, you can win 3-0 and it can be, you know, slightly flattering. I think West Ham, we won 5-2 and it wasn't the greatest performance. And the scoreline didn't do the performance really justice because it wasn't a 5-2. But tonight, you know, it could have been, like you were saying, it could have been 4-5, 6-7. You know, like they could have, you know, if they'd have been clinical enough, it could have been a big scoreline tonight. 4 is big, but it could have been bigger. So fair play to them.
Well, Liverpool are through, of course, and let's run through some of the other round of 16 results. It doesn't make for good reading from an English team's perspective. On Tuesday night, it started with Sporting 5-0 against Bodo Glimt. The Portuguese side threw 5-3 on aggregate. Arsenal, of course, winning 2-0 against Bayer Leverkusen on the night, making the tie 3-1 to the Gunners. Chelsea lost 3-0 to PSG, the holders with an emphatic 8-2 across the two games. And on tonight, of course, in the earlier game between Barcelona and Newcastle, they were playing out a cracker. It's 2-2 after half an hour, 3-2 at half-time. But Barcelona stepped up the gear just a little bit and Eddie Howe's side fell apart. It was 7-2 on the night, 8-3 on aggregate. Bayern were already 6-1 in their time, pretty much through against Atalanta, but they added another 4 tonight, making it 4-1. 10-2 across the two legs, and as we know here, of course, it was 4-0 at Anfield this evening, the Reds progressing 4-1. And finally, Tottenham down 5-2 from the first leg. Well, they put up a good fight against Atletico Madrid tonight. It ended 3-2 to Spurs on the night. The Spaniards, though, of course, through to the quarterfinals, 7-5 across the two games. I mean, my goodness, Jason.
I tried to add that up. I know you didn't because you were reading. How many goals do you think? I must be close. Oh. How many do you think?
That was a lot of goals. It was a lot of big numbers in there. 39.
You're way out. What do you think?
50.
Way out.
Really?
Way out.
18.
No, collect all the goals in that round of games and Champions League.
From last night
and
tonight.
So last night and last week and everything.
Are you that good at your quick maths?
Have you done that then?
Yeah, I added them up. I can't be far away.
Go on.
42.
83.
Really? 83 goals.
You're either unbelievable at maths or terrible because that's a lot of numbers.
No, 83.
That can't be
in the
83.
Two games.
Someone needs to find that out.
The aggregate scores. The aggregate scores. I'm pretty sure was 83. I'm pretty sure.
Well,
get someone in the gallery to count.
Okay, we'll get back to you on that one.
83. I bet I'm close.
I hope so.
I've gone way out on the limb.
You can't watch.
83.
Any of those stand out to you, Jay?
I can't remember them all. I'm not going to lie to you.
When you went 7-2 tonight.
I know. Because we left when it was still 2-2, I think, yeah. Didn't we?
Yeah. I think Bayern will be a dark horse. I don't know why. Yeah. I just feel Bayern are just going about their business. No one's really talking about them. I know, obviously, listen, the aggregate is quite scary. They've gone and, you know, done 10-2
or
10-3.
People are talking about them. I think they're looking like one of the favourites at the moment, alongside Arsenal. Bayern Munich and Arsenal are who people are talking about.
I'm not really heard too much about Bayern. I think everyone's talking about Arsenal, you know, the PSG ones. You know, I think that they're the two for me that I've heard loads of noise about. I'd say that the Bayern one for me, I know obviously the aggregate speaks for itself, but they're not really, no one's really talking about going to win it. I think they've had a good tie over at Atalanta, but I just think they're a bit of a dark horse that people need to be aware of.
I think what it showed us, if any team turn up and bring their A game, look at Barcelona tonight, at 7-2, it's, you know, anyone can beat anyone.
Yeah.
You know, Liverpool, it's a tough tie, PSG. Listen, we don't want to, the same situation as last season. It should have been out of sight, to be honest, the first game in Paris.
In Paris, I mean, it's a tough one.
Ali was unbelievable. I don't think I've seen a goalkeeping performance like it. It was sensational. And it kept us in the game. It kept us in the tie. And then, unfortunately, we go out on penalties. But it's going to be a tough ask. Listen, it's another step up in quality, obviously. But they've had the problems, PSG, injuries. They are finding form. But it'll be tough. What's that? Are they the games?
Yeah, let's run through the quarterfinals then. So it'll be Barcelona facing up against Atletico Madrid. Liverpool, of course, as you mentioned, up against PSG. Real Madrid versus Bayern Munich. And Sporting have Arsenal. Arsenal probably the happiest of all the sides in that final eight.
I'd say, I'd definitely say so, would you? I would.
Arsenal's got the easiest of them. That's no disrespect to Sporting, great comeback against Bode Glimt last night.
It's a huge bonus for us, though, to be set, you know, home second leg again. It's a huge bonus. You know, we go and give a performance that we do. I know, obviously, this and Ali had an outstanding game, but if we can turn up, you know, we've got to back ourselves. And, you know, if you want to, the thing about this competition is that you're going to have to beat the best to go win it. I know that sounds a bit like daft to say, but, you know, wherever you are and on whatever side of the table you find yourself on, you're coming against some top talents and some top teams, managers. So, you know, Liverpool have got to play the best to go and be the best.
It's funny, isn't it? For all the money and all the rejig and everything that's gone into this Champions League restructure, the cream does come to the top, doesn't it?
Look at that road to Budapest. I would say Liverpool definitely on the more difficult side of the draw. So the winners of PSG Liverpool face up against Real Madrid and Bayern. The winners of Barcelona Atletico play Sporting and Arsenal winner. I mean, would you rather be on the other side of the draw in this one? Or do you like the fact that we have to beat the best teams to get to that finals ultimately, Jason?
Yeah, and I'm looking at it there. I hope Arsenal don't get the final against us. I hate it when it's an all-English final.
Teams, yeah.
I'd like to see.
Well, the last one didn't go
Liverpool,
too badly.
Liverpool-Barca. I'll take that.
Jay, what
do
you think?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Tottenham, wasn't it?
Yeah, listen, like I've just said, you have to play against the best. Liverpool have obviously found themselves on in my opinion, a tough side of the draw. Mm. The Barca, Atletico, they probably don't really like to be up against each other on that side. I do think Arsenal have had an easier way into where they are. But yeah, listen, Liverpool, again, you know, it's a bit of a cliche one. We have to concentrate on ourselves, and I think we'll go and show an unbelievable account against a top team in PSG.
I know they've tried to rejig, well, they have rejigged it, and they've gone again this season. They brought in, you know, home leg first, haven't they, up to the semis. But again, you know, I look at it when you make the draw, the English teams, you know, Man City finished, where did they finish? Was it fifth or sixth? And they get Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Or the other way around.
There's still Liverpool. A little bit of question. Yeah, I know you're doing. There's still them questions on, is it worth you getting so
second,
far in the
third
top? Because you end up getting harder draws.
I mean, Sporting, I think, finished eighth, I think, I read today. And they got Bode Glimt. Mm. You know, and you look at, you know, us, we get Galatasaray, tough.
Tough
Man City get Real Madrid. You know, it's not quite worked out again. So maybe it needs another bit of a rejig.
Yeah, we've got a little bit more reaction now from inside the stadium. We've got Milos Kerkez, who's with Pete McDowell.
Well, Milos, congratulations. It felt like the biggest game of the season. It was perhaps the best performance of the season from the boys. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, I mean, it was right up there. I think today the mentality, the energy was unbelievable from every player. And, yeah, we did much better things with the second balls, with the duels, with the fast attacks. So, like you say, I would put it also right there.
And that was the key, was it, tonight? Because the intent was evident in Istanbul, but it maybe didn't go your way. But tonight you gave them no room for it to go their way, the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was great energy. And, you know, second balls, you pick them up a lot and straight to attack and a lot of tackles. You know, then you get the fans going, fans get us going. Yeah. So I never felt this, you know, Champions League night, and it was really special for me tonight also. But I'm really proud of all the boys.
That was evident as well. The players were trying to get the crowd involved. Yeah. The performance on its own got the crowd involved. Yeah. It was a very special atmosphere that tonight.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, like I say, with every tackle you made, with duel, second ball, fast attack, it was just unbelievable. I never felt that, but it's like weird to say, you know, and the older guys that are longer here, the Anfield nights, you know, in Champions League is special. So I'm grateful that I could feel it and experience it tonight.
Scored after 26 minutes, but it could have been a half full, couldn't it? That was no exaggeration to say that you might have scored 7 or 8 goals tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we had lots of chances, and obviously also the penalty and everything, and after that also the chances with Flo, and yeah, there was a lot of chances. I think we defended really well, didn't give much away, and yeah, after that second half, you know, also chance after chance, so we executed the plan perfect, and yeah, great night.
Individually, so many top performances. Your mate Dom, who's just been so special, got it all underway. Yeah. Where would we be without him this season? He's been absolutely wonderful, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's top. A lot of good confidence, you know, and he gives us a lot. I mean, when you see when he runs, when he press, you know, I think he just takes all the guys with him, and then, you know, he does it all, doesn't he? So he's really important for us. So hope he keeps going, and now we go on to Brighton.
You're so driven. You're talking about Brighton. You're probably already thinking about PSG, aren't you, as to what it might take for another one of these special ties to get through that?
Yeah, I mean, we know it's, you know, they're the champions. You know, won it last year, so great team. But yeah, obviously we're looking forward to it. But we know we have to pick up points in Premier League, so looking forward to Brighton already.
Lot is hanging on this. This might be a record, actually, for the amount of goals that have been scored in this round, right across the tie. It's going to take something special to get to Budapest, isn't it, and do the unthinkable.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it, you know, but let's see. I think it would be special. I think just take it game by game. If we play like we tonight, with this mentality, with this courage, with everything, I think we're a really good team, really tough team to beat, so I hope, you know, would be special, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well done, mate.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Thanks, mate. Well, we spoke about the amount of goals there. How many did you guess?
It was 86.
86. How good do you think your maths was?
Well, I know because you told me. But you know what I've done? I've got I've got the 8 and the 6 the wrong way round.
68 goals.
I told you, I've got the 8 and the 6 the wrong way round.
Easily done, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got the 8 and the 6, 86. But it was 68. I knew it was right. My maths is right. I never passed it in school.
The highest scoring round of 16 in 66 years. So,
too many numbers.
Too many numbers. A lot of numbers. Jabe Kerkez there was speaking about how special a night it was for him. And some of the guys that have an experience in Anfield night like that as well. What did you make of his performance?
I think he was questioned when he first came in. I think that's fair to say. But I think he's grown. He's adapted to the Liverpool way of how the manager wants him to play. And I think over the last couple of months, he's got better and better and better. But for me, as an overall, defensively, offensively, going forward, tackling, first ball, second ball, for me, that's his best performance. In my opinion, I think it's right up there. I think he was, like we said, everyone was outstanding, but I really enjoyed watching him today. I thought he was really aggressive in everything. And like you said there, winning them second balls as a team gives you them that that mentality to go again. It keeps the attack going. You know, it's not just one attack, it ends up being 2, 3, 4 attacks. And as a defender going against that, when you can't get out, it's just demoralising. So, you know, we were always on the front foot, and he was involved in a lot of stuff that was successful for the team.
Very good. Tactics suited him. He had a lot of space to get down the outside. And again, I'll go back to letting the handbrake off, which I mentioned before. He's one of them players that's full of energy. You know, you remember him at Brighton, getting down the left, delivering good balls, energy, energy, dynamic. You know, that's the way he plays. You know, the manager can be controlling and, you know, it can be a bit pragmatic, and I don't think that suits him a lot. But tonight, you know, I keep using this phrase, let the handbrake off, and he was one that did, and he got down the outside so many times. Deliveries was good. It was an energetic performance. He won a lot of big tackles, and he was involved in quite a lot of the good stuff. So probably his best performance for me tonight.
Yeah, he looks very calm and composed in that role now, doesn't he? Any other individual performances you want to mention before we chat about the weekend?
They were all good,
man. There's all like different aspects to the performance, I think. I think the rotation in the midfield was, you know, you could see the fluency of what they had. They all enjoyed playing closer together to each other. Mo, you know, should have probably scored more. Hugo's work rate on and off the ball, he's got his goal. The defensive line, Virgil, Ibu, outstanding in keeping things quiet. I can't really talk about any of their players really causing Liverpool a threat. Fullbacks bombing on even the subs. I thought the subs came on and impacted. You know, Jones going in at fullback, he even influenced the game. Yeah, so as an all-round team performance, finishes, starters was outstanding. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's pick out some of the games to keep an eye on then the weekend ahead in the Premier League. So Friday sees Bournemouth take on Manchester United, and then it's Liverpool's trip to Brighton. That's a nice early kickoff. We always love those, don't we? It's Fulham versus Burnley in the only 3 o'clock game on Saturday. City versus Palace, that one's postponed because of City's trip to Wembley for the Carabao Cup final versus Arsenal on Sunday. And then it's Everton versus Chelsea and Leeds versus Brentford. Sunday sees the North East Derby, Aston Villa taking on West Ham and Spurs facing Nottingham Forest. Well, it's important, isn't it, Jay, that we follow tonight up with a consistent and positive performance. How difficult will that be, especially going away to Brighton, a 12:30 kickoff after they've had to give absolutely everything out there tonight?
It always seems to be our way. You know, we end up getting a 12:30 kickoff. The one, you know, Brighton have sat at home nice and comfy watching us tonight, while Liverpool have given absolutely everything they can to get into the next phase of the Champions League. So, you know, these next two days, tomorrow will obviously be in for recovery. You know, the lads will get everything they need to recover for that, and then it'll be a quick travel down on Friday. But Liverpool, you know, it's literally that's how, for if you want to be at the highest level, winning on all fronts and performing at all fronts, it's how quick the fixture list comes around. And it's cliche to say, but like you said, you know, it's right on to the next one because there's no time to rest. You have to get yourself ready, try and get some sleep tonight if they can, and then, you know, in tomorrow to recover to move on to Saturday.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I think the Premier League need to look at it. A feel for the lads, it's all about recovery now for them. But to play 12:30, and plus, you know, you're asking Liverpool fans to get down to Brighton. You know, it's an early kickoff. You know, for the lads, you know, they could do with the extra hours. You know, minutes recovery is vital, and they could do without it. So I'd like to see that addressed. But it's been an ongoing argument with the Premier League and other clubs as well, you know, that have faced the same challenge. So it doesn't seem to be getting any better. So, you know, maybe they should be knocking on the door and asking why.
Yeah, well, the ambition is clear in the Premier League. We know where we want to get to. If we have a look at the teams around us, both United and Chelsea have tough away trips. No guarantee of points for either of them. Villa have West Ham at Villa Park. That could be a tough one. The Hammers have found a bit of form lately. But really, Jason, do we want to be focusing on ourselves and not having to worry too much? Or do you have to look at those teams around us when you are fighting for that top four, potentially top five spots for Champions League?
Yeah, there's so much exposure, isn't it? It's difficult not to see what's going on around you. But Liverpool can only do what they can do. They can't really influence other teams. They kind of can if they play the day after and Liverpool get a positive result. Like we say, it's an early kickoff. They can put a little bit of pressure on the other teams. But they can only do what they can do on the pitch, and hopefully, you know, other teams help them out. Everton would be a nice result for us. Villa are struggling at the minute. But listen, just concentrate on what they've set themselves a high bar tonight. They need to recover quickly and go again. The games come thick and fast, don't they?
And Jay, I know it was frustrating to drop points at the weekend, but if you look at the table there, Liverpool's still in a very good position to get in those top four spots and be playing Champions League football again next year.
100%, yeah, we definitely are. There's nothing to say, you know, there's going to be a lot of twists and turns between now and the end of the season. You know, Jason's right. I think that it needs addressing, the fact that Liverpool will go into that kick-off straight after a Wednesday late evening on Saturday morning. But we just have to concentrate on us. You know, it's the same old cliche. People are probably bored of hearing it, but there's not much else we can do apart from just concentrate on us, on what's around our games going forward. If we pick up our 3 points on Saturday, you know, morning, early doors, and it puts pressure on other people to go and perform and get results out of that one. So, yeah, we have to just knock every game off as it comes, and then we'll see where we come the end of May.
Well, our next game, as we've mentioned, is Brighton. Let's have a look at the bottom half of the table. They still sit in the bottom half despite taking 9 points from their last four games. Their revitalised form came after Liverpool beat them 3-0 in the FA Cup. We were here, Jay, weren't we, for that one? Prior to that, they had not won in six games. A little bit of a different task to when they visited us in the FA Cup, Jay?
Yeah, I think so, because I think there'll be a lot more different personnel playing. I felt that in that game, you could see that the Brighton manager was a bit more of a thinking, you know, the league form needed to change for them. They were in a bit of a sticky moment. They weren't picking up results. He was under a little bit of pressure himself. And I could see, you know, in the fixture that we were here, that the person that he chose was more of a one he wanted to rest, maybe a few different players. So it'll be a completely different side. They would have watched tonight and seen the flexibility that Liverpool can bring come Saturday. But they'll also know that the Liverpool players have given it absolutely everything tonight. So how will their game plan go? Will they try and get at Liverpool and try and get at them quicker, to, you know, knowing that they've had a tough game tonight?
And Jason, as a player heading into an international break, how crucial is it for the mindset before that to get that win?
You mean before an international break?
Before an international break, yeah.
Yeah, it's always nice, you know, I think. When you play for the top teams, you know, everyone departs for various countries, don't they? And to go on a defeat or an underwhelming performance can leave the manager sort of with itchy feet, isn't it? Because he wants to get on the training ground with them, he wants to address it, he wants, you know, to put things right. And his players go away, he'll have his fingers crossed that his players come back all fit and healthy. So it can be disappointing if they go away on a bad result and a bad performance. So it's important. Listen, there's no real wriggle room anymore. Like, we really are at the business end of the season. And, you know, I listened to what Jay said. I totally agree with him. You tick each game off as it comes. And, like I keep saying, they've set themselves a bar tonight. We know it's in there. You know it's in there. It's tough, but they've got to dig in. You know, players have been in this position before. There's some players who haven't at Liverpool. And it's up to the leadership team to make players aware of this is the business end, and these games do count. We need everybody at it. Otherwise, you can come unstuck, and we need Champions League football.
Yeah, Joe, we've found the Amex a tough away day in recent times. Just one win there in the last five in all competitions. Is that something that plays into your mind as a player, or do you treat each game as if it's an entirely new prospect?
I wouldn't say you have them stadiums where you don't like to go to. I think there's ones where you might think, oh, do you know what, it's a tough atmosphere, or, you know, we might have to like step it up a little bit. But I wouldn't say there's ones where you think, oh God, we've been here and only won 1-5. I think it just comes down to the day on like, you know, the manager might make a couple of changes, you might do something a little bit different, and then it just comes down to the day on who turns up, who performs, and who kind of wants it more. If I'm honest, and you know, if I'm looking at our side against the Brighton side, we should go there, and in my opinion, we should go there and get the 3 points. But I know it will be difficult for us to do so, and everyone has to be ready and perform at the highest level again, because it won't be an easy game. But Liverpool have got full. This should give them unbelievable confidence to go into that game. I know it's obviously a quick turnaround, but this should give them the most confidence you could ever go going into a Brighton game, if the stats are what you say.
Jason, do you think he adapts the team much from tonight? Freshens things up a little bit?
Again, the disappointments of playing after a Wednesday night, half 12 kickoff, I think there will be a better rotation. I think there needs to be. It is a tough place to go. Manager's under a bit of pressure. It's not in a great space, the club. And he'll want, you know, taking Liverpool is a good scalp, isn't it? So he'll definitely want that in front of his home fans as well. But it's, you know, for Liverpool, it's a big, big game. They are away. It's early kickoff. I used to wait early kickoffs. Oh, I used to wait them. But listen, they've got to go and do a job, and hopefully they get it done.
Yeah, confidence will be high, won't it, though, after tonight? What difference do you think this is going to make in terms of that Premier League form?
I think they just have to take it into what they can. You know, I think the confidence has always been there for the players. It's just they've just found they've come unstuck a couple of times, and, you know, things just haven't fell for them, or chances they haven't been as clinical as they would like to have been. I don't think much has been away. I think the results over long periods have worked, and it just seems to be we get so far and then obviously something then happens and knocks us back. But Liverpool have to go there after that performance tonight and be full of it.
And that's it from tonight's episode of The Reaction. We'll be back on Saturday after Liverpool's trip to the Amex as they take on Brighton in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't already, please give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode. Bye for now.